Okay, I'm William English, and this is a special edition of Wavelength, coming from Leicester. I'm visiting the Ultima Thule record shop, which is right next door to London Road Station. You literally come out of the station and take a left again, and it's right there. What's the name of this street, Alan?
Conduit Street.
Conduit.
And I'm talking to Alan Freeman, who, along with his brother Steve Freeman, runs this excellent shop called Ultima Thule here in Leicester. So, Alan, when did you first start the shop?
Shop was opened in 1991. We'd opened as offices before that in 1989, and decided to move somewhere bigger because we got a lot of visitors.
You started out as an office?
Yeah. Just doing mail order, yeah.
Okay. And so then you opened the shop in 91, here at this premises on Conduit Street.
19 years ago this week.
Right, oh really? Oh, this is the anniversary then. Yeah. Okay, and you sort of specialise, don't you, in... first of all, why is it called Ultima Thule?
Well, Steve got the idea from Tangerine Dream single, and also because of what it means to go to the limits, to find things that you never found before, that sort of thing.
Right.
So...
And has it always been the same kind of music that you've specialised in?
We've always had this ethic of what we like, and almost anything that's weird, experimental, progressive, we think is good, or, you know, it's kind of in the area of what we do.
Yeah. But they're quite, most of it is quite obscure music, isn't it, that you can't obtain in other places?
Yes. We go out of our way to try and find places where we can get things from, especially if nobody else is doing it and we think it's worth promoting.
Right. And it's CD, vinyl, even cassette, isn't it?
There's still some cassettes left over, but they don't turn over much these days.
No. And I think when I first came here, I was actually looking for music by Volcano the Bear, mm-hmm. who are a sort of local Leicester group, in fact.
Yes, who used to be in here all the while, especially two of them, almost every week buying stuff.
Oh, right. Do they still come in?
Nick's now down in the West Country somewhere. Aaron's living in New York. Paddy's living in Scotland. And Loz, who was the one who never bought much, he's the only one who's left in Leicester.
Oh, right.
So I don't see them much nowadays.
Okay.
Unless they're touring or something like that.
Yeah. So, and you and your brother, you also play your musicians yourselves, aren't you?
Yeah, totally self-taught. Explorers more than musicians, really.
Okay. Yeah. And what's the name of your outfits? I think you're playing various outfits.
The long running outfit is me and my brother, which is Alto Stratus. The Owl from Alan, the ST Stratus from Steve.
Right.
Which is the highest clouds in the sky. And we kind of... it's to convey a kind of cosmic element to it, even though most of the early stuff we did was really noise and industrial.
Does Steve want to take part in this?
Yeah.
Okay, we're now joined by Steve Freeman, brother of Alan, and who is the co-founder of this shop.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
I think you were responsible for the name, is that right? Ultima Thule?
Yeah, Tangerine Dream single.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it also feature in a book? Is it from some...
There's a few places.
There's quite a few places where it's referred to.
Is it? Because it's a distant planet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's even some sci-fi series where they name a planet Ultima Thule, and we thought that was interesting.
Right.
And that's Space 1999, if I remember right.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, and is it mostly, I mean, do you is it mostly kind of internet sales now, or do you get a lot of people coming into the shop and buying?
No, mainly mail order.
Is it? Yeah.
People like phone up.
Email.
Yeah, email.
Uh-huh.
We don't have an online service on the web because we've just never found one that's flexible enough to cope with.
Right.
Because most modules that people use for selling things on the web are set to certain things being sold.
Uh-huh.
Unless you use something like an eBay system or.
Yeah.
Which gets very expensive.
And you have your own label as well, don't you? I mean,
two labels.
How many?
Ultimate Transmissions and Oracle Music are the main two.
And is that mostly your own stuff, or do you do other people's
stuff? A lot of it's our stuff, yeah.
Right.
But we do some of the artists.
Yeah, because over the years we built up friends and released early stuff by them.
Right.
People like Robert Rich before anybody else knew about him.
Uh-huh. And do they tend to be local people?
Oh, well, Robert Rich is American, but... The only thing we've released by local bands was a rock group called Courtyard Moth in the mid-90s. And some stuff by Shapeshifter, who are still around, and I still play with occasionally.
Right. Yeah, because you were starting to run through your list of... You have a sort of floating population of in your own musicians,
Well, our own music, we started in the late 70s just playing around with turntables, things like Henri Chopin records, Lou Reed's Metal Machine music and things like that, turning them by hand at the wrong speeds. We recorded them and multi-layering them.
Okay.
That's the very early stuff we did.
Yeah.
And then we got loads of things like gongs, pans and things like that, and we used to put microphones around the room and throw things around and make collages out of it.
So right.
That's how we kind of started.
Okay.
We used to work under the name Zircon and the Burning Brains. This was before that, weren't it? It was the Holy Atheist.
Right.
Which was kind of a controversial name, and we got the idea from other bands like Throbbing Gristle and things like that. We're using kind of controversial names.
Yeah.
It transmuted into Auto Stratus eventually.
Okay.
Yeah. And Zircon and the Burning Brains is another sideline project with a friend of ours who is in Leicester.
Who's now in Japan.
Yeah. Who were very industrial, kind of electronic, with lots of text collage and things like that as well.
Yeah. Okay. And did you always play in Leicester, or have you sort of played around?
We've never played outside Leicester yet.
No?
No.
Oh, right.
No. We did get an invite once to play at the Cosmish Club, and it just never happened.
Oh, right. Okay. And this is one of your tracks playing at the moment?
This is recent band Triax, which is me, Steve, and another guy who plays hurdy-gurdy, flutes, etc.
Okay.
I tend to play guitar and electronics.
Yeah.
Steve does most of the kind of
voices.
Yeah, text
tapes.
Work and stuff like that.
Right.
The bass.
My experience is that you're normally the kind of behind the scenes guy. Whenever I come in here, Alan's sort of in the shop.
I'm downstairs guy.
In the basement, yeah.
I'm the one who gets the mail order.
Right, right.
Well, when I was at school, when they used to ask you what you wanted to be when you grow up, I always used to say I want to run a record shop.
Did you really?
Yeah. Whereas other people want to be a train driver.
Yes. That's interesting. Yeah. So you always knew what you wanted to have a record shop. Why is that? Is that because you had experience of record shops and you liked them?
I just loved music so much. So.
Yeah.
I was one of the few kind of really obsessives of music. Everybody else was just into the chart sounds.
Right.
When I was at school. So.
Yeah. What did you listen to when you were at school?
Well, I started with T-Rex and then kind of went on in leaps and bounds, you know. I realised I liked electronics, so I used to buy anything with a synthesizer on it.
Okay.
Then found out albums that were pretty reliable if they got very long tracks on them as well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That would have been, when was that, 70?
This is around 74, 75 when I really started collecting seriously.
Right.
When I was at high school.
And I would guess that Steve is slightly older than you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 years.
Okay.
And I started really with Genesis, Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Deep Purple.
Deep Purple were your first favourite.
Right. Okay.
Les Zeppelin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I went off music in the mid 70s when parents got divorced. And I went to stay in Loughborough.
Right.
Went to live with our grandma, and he got involved in things like darts teams and things like that, didn't you? And he dropped out of buying music altogether.
Oh, right.
That was until later when we met each other and both again found out that we both listened to the same sort of music.
I just discovered Eamon Daughtu's Fellas Day.
Yeah.
I'd just
seen Ken on the old whistle test, and everything kind of steamrolled from there.
Right.
On.
Then it was a race to find as much as we could.
Anything German anything kind of really weird. You know, it was kind of a challenge. So We dipped into free jazz, but we didn't dip much.
Yeah.
And you used to get things out of the record library, stuff like electronic music albums, Soundtex records, Stockhouse and things like that. Yeah. And so anything that said this had tape work on it, you know, manipulation, electronics or anything like that.
So in that pit, before you opened the shop, how were you kind of earning a living, as it were, before you sort of...
Unemployed.
Right.
Well, nearly 10 years.
Very early 80s, we both worked at the Great Central Railway in Loughborough.
Oh, right.
Which was kind of a vocational course type thing, but that didn't last. And then it was those famous years of Maggie's Unemployed.
Yes.
When you couldn't get a job.
Right, yeah. And then did you manage to scrape enough money together to take on a lease on a shop? What's happened?
That was later when our grandma gave us a gift of money each she sold her house.
So that allowed you, that enabled you to start up?
Well, we've set enterprise allowance as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
One of the few things Maggie Thatcher's government...
Yeah, but over the years, we'd been going down to London, buying records, you know, in record and tape exchange for 10-50p each, buying loads and trying out almost anything we could.
Yeah. I think you
can't do that anymore.
No, that's right. But I think I sort of heard, well, I think Clive Graham knows you.
Oh, yes.
I think you apparently used to stay with him?
Yeah. He used to go down there on record buying trips and cart the stuff back to his place and go through listening to the best stuff, sometimes with friends of Clive's there as well.
Right.
And pass all the stuff up and send it. Back sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. So then you just built up a stock which for the shop?
Yeah.
Or could you get stuff on a sale or return basis? Or does it not work like that?
No, sale or return isn't a good idea generally.
No. Yeah.
But we also, because there was other magazines around that all died out, we started up Audion magazine in the mid-86.
So you publish a magazine as well?
Yeah.
Called what, Audion?
Audion, yeah.
Okay. Which is here in the shop, it's like dozens of...
40-odd issues, yeah.
40-odd back issues of Audion magazine. Which is what, all about electronic music and the kind of music you like?
Yeah.
The kind of music we like.
Yeah.
And also the kind of music that friends of ours like and customers like.
Yeah. Right.
It covers a wider range than what we like.
Yeah, like Brian Eno through to Stockhausen.
Yeah.
Electronically.
And how does it, I mean, does the shop, the shop survives, obviously, but does it, is it, I mean, do you find you're threatened by the internet at all, or do you manage, does the shop still work?
Well, nobody seems to know why it's happening, but there's very few record shops left, there's very few independent bookshops left and things like that, and it's not, the internet isn't taking the custom, so...
Right.
What is happening, we don't know.
Right.
Because a lot of people, you talk to them, where do you buy most of your music now? On the internet, they say, no, I don't buy much these days.
Right.
That's essentially the general thing.
Oh, okay.
As people get older, they slow down, apart from the real fanatics.
Yeah.
Who now have the problem that they're running out of places to buy it from.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. So how many more configurations are there of your band, as it were, if we can call it a band? You've named two, I think.
Well, we started with Holy Atheist, which became Freya, which is a Dutch word for free, with Freeman.
Oh.
Until we found out it had another connotation, so we decided to stop using that.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. But then we came up with the name Auto Stratus. But in parallel to that, there was Zircon and the Burning Brains.
Yeah.
I should say it was the guy, Nigel Harris, who now lives in Japan. We had other guys that we did projects under Region 5, Electric Junk, Adhara, which were all kind of different things, but they were all really Auto Stratus.
Region 5.
Region 5, yeah.
We've
both done solo works as well.
Uh-huh. Under what names? What, I mean, do you just call yourselves?
We both used pseudonyms to start off, but afterwards we went under our own names.
Right.
Yeah. Scorpio.
And I did someone who's named Xylem.
Right.
Also AF, and I was SF one day.
Right.
So, I don't know why.
Okay.
We also did a one-off project called Biomechanoid, which was really Auto Stratus, but it was the first actual concept album we did.
Okay.
It's all based on the paintings of H.R. Giger.
Oh, right.
So it's very kind of dark and spooky,
yeah.
Unnerving stuff.
Yeah.
And what was after that?
A holiday?
Yeah, when we started Autumn with you, we didn't do anything for years.
Okay.
Oh,
yes. It really starts again until Jim.
I joined Shapeshifter in 86.
Yeah, Maureen wanted me to join Shapeshifter, but I said there's another guy here who'd be a lot more
au fait with twiddling knobs and making electronic whooshing
noises.
Oh, yeah, he was on about that as well. Yeah, Jim. Yeah.
So Jim joined Shapeshifter and I didn't. Then they both got fed up with Shapeshifter, didn't they?
Because Shapeshifter originally, she's a South African, white South African poet. And she used to do poetry with occasional music, and it eventually became a musical project, a space rock, kind of a bit like Gong.
Right.
But then different people came, different people went, and all the new guys in the band seemed to want to push it in a commercial direction, and getting a producer involved, and I wasn't interested in that. And Jim came back from holiday, and he joined in the session after that, and he says, no, I'm not into that either.
Right.
So that's how Endgame was formed.
I suggested the idea to Jim
and with Shapeshifter we'd done a couple of gigs which were just kind of open improvisation, and we decided that was the direction we wanted Endgame to go.
So Endgame is your last sort of manifestation, or if you like to do
it? First of our rebirth.
Right.
Okay. After that we started doing lots of our Stratus stuff as well again.
Okay, right.
But Endgame is all open improvisation. It was weekly for starters, two 45-minute sessions, which built up a huge backlog of stuff.
We still haven't caught up with it.
So you have your own label as well.
Oracle music.
That's Oracle. That
was originally our cassette label, which is now our CDR label.
Right.
Ultimate Transmissions is what we started for professional produced releases.
Right.
And there's also the sub-label Cosmic Egg, which is for the krautrock artists.
Okay.
We've released two so far.
So you also do krautrock on your own label?
Yeah.
Okay. And who's on that?
The first release is Out of Focus,
right.
Unreleased fourth album. They are Munich, spacey, trippy, jazz fusion krautrock band.
Right.
And the second release is Gam, which is Gunter Schickert, Berlin Echo guitarist.
Oh, yes.
It's kind of Ashra Temple-like, but with attitude.
Right.
Kind of slight punky attitude.
Solo by Gunter on Oracle Music.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I bought that, actually. Yeah, I got that.
Kindred Awareness.
Yeah. And what's this that's playing at the moment?
This is Triax, Creatures. Double album recorded late last year. Triax is basically me and Steve together with Dave Powell. He plays hurdy-gurdy, and he keeps adding other instruments to his entourage, flutes.
Right, so this is one long continue. How long is this track, roughly?
We're on track two now.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
How long is it? 12 minutes?
Yeah. So how is business?
It'll always be better. We kind of struggle along and make ends meet.
You got a secure sort of lease there, or is it
the lease runs out in 2 years.
Right.
We'll be looking for somewhere cheaper. And
will you? Yeah. It's a great location, isn't it?
It was a great location. The area has gone downhill lately.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a homeless people's place down the road, and you get a lot of
yobs
around.
Right.
Train stations.
And also, also the threefold increase of traffic on the roads means there's nowhere for anybody to park.
Right. Yeah.
Because since we started, that's how much more traffic there is on the roads.
So are you both? You're both from Leicester originally.
No,
Loughborough.
Oh, you both.
Which is why we kept going back to Loughborough. Kind of,
I see.
Way, so.
Right.
Yeah, went from Loughborough to Shepshed.
Yeah.
Shepshed to Bursal, which is just
our parents split up. Steve went back to as a lodger with our grandma. I stayed with his dad for a couple of years, which moved around.
Mount Sorrel
and Salby.
Yeah.
So we moved to Leicester.
Right. I've noticed you've had a a bit of publicity recently, didn't you? You had a couple of...
we keep getting very nice bits of publicity here and there.
I think it was sort of somebody, was it John Harris or somebody?
In The Guardian,
Yes, that's right. He was very complimentary about the shop, I think. Wrote you a good review. I think I saw something somewhere else. I can't remember what it was now. Somebody else wrote it.
Back in the late 80s, there was one in Mojo.
Oh, right.
It's over there in the wall.
Does that draw people in from far and wide, or do you just still got the...
Well, there's lots of people abroad who, whenever they come over England, they've got to come to Portsmouth Hill.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, there was a American guy.
Oh, Darren Bergstein, yes. He's been wanting to come to our shop for 15 years since he first found out about us.
Yeah.
So.
His wife got his wife got a conference or something.
Yeah, got a free flight.
Right. So did he go away with bags full of records?
Or he spent more than he wanted to.
On CDs.
And you also do some auctions, don't you? Don't you auction off rare items?
Really, when we get stuff to auction.
Yeah, well, nowadays, if you're looking for rare vinyl, it's getting very rare.
Yeah.
So
not
many people will bring it in to sell anymore.
Oh, right. Because they're wise to the
family. But of course, we did used to go down to London a lot of the time, record and tape exchange, and find records for 50p that we knew were worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
And also, we discovered a couple of clearance warehouses which had deletion stocks.
Oh.
Which was all handy for building up the business.
Yeah.
You don't find that much nowadays, eh?
But you're quite unusual, I suppose, in that you only really stick to music you like. It's within a kind of fairly narrow parameter, isn't it?
All music we have liked.
Right, yeah.
Like we stock, we don't stop, but we take in things like Barclay James Harvest.
Okay.
Which we used to be into when we were younger.
Right, yeah. A Nurse With Wound, is that one of your
We'd stock loads of Nurse With Wound if we could get it.
It's a difficult one.
Well, since World Serpent disappeared, the Nurse With Wound output has kind of gone on to loads of different obscure labels.
And
it's not easy to locate.
Right.
Or get easily, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, we knew Steve Stapleton just slightly before the first Nurse With Wound LP was released.
Yeah, that's because we used to write for a magazine called Face Out.
Oh.
And we were in contact with him about a year before that, weren't we?
Then the guy who ran Face Out just discovered about the new kind of underground that was happening.
Yeah. When was that?
And he somehow got in touch with Steve Stapleton. I can't remember how. It was just before the first Nurse With Wound album. And we was going down to London, and we decided to meet up.
Mm-hmm.
Became instant friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "We've just recorded an album by our new band. Do you want to hear it?" So we were probably the first people to hear it. I don't know.
All right, so, I mean, if anyone wanting to get in touch with you then, so it's Ultima Thule, Conduit Street, Leicester.
Yeah.
Number 1 Conduit Street.
Yeah, or you can go to our website, www.ultimathulerecords.com.
Right.
That's Ultima Thule Records, all one word.
Yeah.
And that's the shortcut to our website, which has got our catalogues on it, all our releases, various other oddments. It's kind of a krautrock guide on there, a Nurse With Wound guide.
Yeah.
Sound samples from about 50 of our releases.
Uh-huh. And you're playing at the moment, aren't you? I noticed. I got an email from you.
Yeah, we played. Triots played last Saturday.
Right. Here in Leicester.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did the opening set and scared a few people.
Who were you playing with then?
That was Triots, which was me, Steve, and Dave.
Yeah.
We did about a. I think it was a 38 minute piece, which kind of covered a lot of ground. Also on there was
Black Carrot,
a band called Echolocation, who were fronted by a beat poet and kind of new wave type stuff.
Okay.
Agonal Trace, so I can't make up my mind on, they're good, but...
Yeah.
And Shapeshifter, who kind of did one of the craziest sets I've heard for a long while.
Really?
Yeah. Right. But I played electronics with Shapeshifter still.
Right.
Black Carrot are amazing.
Are they local?
They're from Market Harborough.
Oh, right.
Which is 16 miles south of Leicester.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're one of the best bands around at the moment.
Oh, okay. Are they, what, young, sort of, youngish?
Younger than us.
Youngish.
Yeah. Not so young, okay. Kind of,
we've known Stu, who's the bassist and singer, for quite a long while, since the early 90s. So. Yeah, well, we got to know musicians from that band because of Volcano the Bear Connections.
Right. So do they ever play now together, or is that completely...
Volcano the Bear's last tour was November, December last year, Europe. They never played in England.
Oh, right.
They apparently went down well everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, they all live all over the place. Yeah. They all used to live in Leicester at one time.
Yeah.
There's only one. Only Loz is still in Leicester. They occasionally pop in when we are there to do some recording.
Right.
It's still recorded.
We still record here in Leicester.
Yeah, because there's a guy up there, Kev Weaver, who's into weird music. If you talk to anybody who's into normal rock music and recording it, Kev Weaver, they say, never again.
Yeah.
Because he always wants to push a band further.
So
bands like Black Carrots and Volcano the Bear, they've used it.
Yeah. You're almost quite secret here in Leicester, aren't you? Because I'm from Leicester myself.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I mean I remember this street, Conduit Street, where there used to be an Indian restaurant down there. It used to be called Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
Almost next door. Is it still there?
No, it's gone, isn't it? Still a restaurant there.
Oh, right. Keeps changing hands.
Yeah. But when I come back to Leicester, I've mentioned to people, I say to them, oh, it's that record shop down by the station. They don't know about you at all. They're completely sort of, they say, oh, really? Is it any good? I say, yeah, it's a great record shop here in Leicester. And they don't seem to...
Something like some of the venues, like the Bamboo, where we play for a few gigs.
Yeah.
You said to people about it, it's been there for years, and people say, Bamboo, never heard of that.
Right.
So that's probably a thing about Leicester.
Yes. Yeah.
There's loads of out-of-the-way places that nobody seems to know about.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Though we're the only... we're one of two independent record shops left in Leicester now.
Which is the other one?
A place called Too Funky, who specialise in soul and dance music.
Right. Because there used to be a big one on High Street, didn't there? Archers, which had been there for a long
gone,
time.
From a long while ago.
It used to be on St. Martin's.
Yeah.
Original.
Yeah.
Used to be around on High Court Street.
High Court Street.
Yeah. They took it over from A.T. Brown's, who used to run it since the 60s.
Yes. And there's still a guy who does the Leicester Market, doesn't he, with a lot of...
No, he's closed down.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Well,
the
market itself, it seems to... On a Tuesday, I think.
There's people who do...
Just do records.
Bits and bobs.
I think there might be somebody who's took that over.
Yeah.
Steve's closed down.
Does...
There was World Records in Leicester. They moved twice, ever to smaller shops, and they closed down eventually.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much to Alan and Steve Freeman for consenting to this interview for Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And maybe we can get you guys to play in London one day.
Yeah. Love to.
Yes.
Hello and welcome to Drift Shift. Today's episode is in reverse of the usual direction or order, with the air facing forward, toward or into the past. World that in peace and justice, freedom of foundation, that is family human, that of members, all of rights inalienable and equal, that of and dignity inherent, that of recognition whereas. Law of rule, that by protected, be should rights human, that oppression and tyranny against rebellion, to resort last, that as recourse have to be compelled, be to not is man, if essential, is it whereas. Nations between relations, friendly of development to promote to essential, is it whereas. Brotherhood of spirit, in another one, toward act, should and conscience and reason with endowed are they. Rights and dignity in equal and free born are beings human all. Status, other or birth, property, origin, social or national, opinion, other or